Hello, all you bar flies out there, and welcome to Bar
Friends Forever.
I'm Susie.
And I'm Kina.
And we are your bar friends
forever.
All right, we must address the biggest event, current event.
The phenomenon.
The world event.
Yeah.
That happened this weekend, and that was April 19th.
Yes.
Taylor Swift dropped not a regular album, but a double album. And we are not okay.
No, we're not okay.
Yeah. I'm unwell. I'm unhinged.
Unhinged, unwell.
Unbathed, unfed.
I was unbathed until this morning. I'm not kidding. Also, thank God that when we were texting on Thursday night at approximately 9:30, and you asked or said, like, is it out now? Like,
yeah.
Nine? Because it was obviously midnight. So it was the 19th already on the East Coast. I then opened my Spotify. I was laying in bed. Skincare was done. Everything, like, I had my whole routine. And my bedtime routine is, like, very obnoxious. I was ready to go to sleep and open up my Spotify and saw that, in fact, the album had been released. And this was before it was the whole double album. But I decided just to go to sleep. And thank God I did, because...
Yeah, that was a smart move.
I'm a crackhead. And I have been doing nothing but sleeping, listening to Taylor Swift, and guzzling wine.
Yes.
Since Friday afternoon.
Yeah. And me, I was working when I texted you. And so I'm like, okay, the minute I get off my shift at, like, around midnight, I'm popping these earbuds in on my way home. I'm going to listen to this album. I get through. Okay. So I was, this is a tangent, but bear with me.
Okay.
I started cleaning the grout on my kitchen counter, like,
specific.
With, like, baking soda and, like, with a toothbrush. Okay. Uh-huh. And so I let it sit and I'm like, I'm going to go home. I'm going to listen to this, like, 13 track or whatever it's going to be album while I scrub this shit off, and I'm going to go to bed.
Right.
Meanwhile, I listened to the first one, like, twice through.
Mm-hmm.
Then I see that she has dropped another second half of the album, and I'm like, you are fucking my world up, Taylor Swift. So my counters have never been fucking cleaner. I listened to the whole album, drank an entire bottle of wine, hated myself the next day. I was hungover, tired, grumpy. I had gone to bed at, like, 4:30 in the morning.
Oh my God.
And had to work the next day, and I was miserable. And then I came home from that shift and did it again. I stayed up till 3:30 in the morning listening to Taylor Swift. And then I went to my shift yesterday and I was talking to my friend Glenn and I was like, I love her. She's ruining my life. And a guy at the bar overheard and he goes, wow, is she having a bad shift? And I said, no, I'm talking about Taylor Swift's new album.
Yeah.
And this guy happened to be a Swiftie.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. And he was like, oh my God, what do you think? And I was like, I mean, it's phenomenal. And we started talking and he's like, okay, I'm going to go to my family now. And I turned to Glenn and I go, am I going to date that guy? Is that my new boyfriend?
Seriously, what family? Leave them.
And Glenn goes, he was here with his girlfriend, actually. I think she was meeting his parents for the first time. And I was like, there would be nothing more Taylor Swift than this guy leaving his girlfriend.
Yes.
Like, while she was meeting his parents because he met a fellow Swiftie.
I know, that's Taylor Swift coded. But I totally get it. It's ruining my life. Like, I was supposed to work out this weekend. Yeah. I was supposed to clean my apartment.
Yeah.
I haven't done any of that. And it's because I needed to. So I listened to the album while you were going to sleep at 4:30 in the morning. I was rising at 5:45. And so I did a sober listen on Friday morning. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday afternoon, I was able to do my non-sober listen.
Yes.
It's been a long work week, so a stiff martini or two were had.
Yeah.
And then I really started to do my favorite kind of Taylor listen, which was with alcohol.
Yes.
And go through, like, a deep dive on lyrics. We were texting.
Yeah.
I was texting with my brother, who's also a Swiftie.
Yes.
And then I fell asleep at 8 p.m. on the couch because the martinis were hitting.
Yeah.
But don't worry, I woke up in the middle of the night, which is 4:54 a.m.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's still the night. I'm going to make myself another drink.
Oh.
So I then had a middle of the night listen.
I mean, I would call it an early morning.
Sure. So I just started to listen all over again. God. I just have been sleeping in shifts.
Yeah.
I'm not even like sleeping the night. I'm like now taking naps. I think I took a nap in the middle of the day yesterday. I rose at 7 p.m. Yeah. I started all over again. Like, kind of need to get things together.
But. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm like over and over and over. Just repeat that album. Keep it in order.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, just been hitting those Reddit threads. I have been lurking in the Reddit threads. Like, I got to know what this is about. I have to decode. I have a problem. Like, she's ruining my life.
I wanted to do a clean listen
before
I started...
I get that.
Going to the dark internet, but don't worry, I'm there.
I go to the dark side immediately. And I think the shocking thing that I'm sure everyone knows at this point, if you're not a Taylor Swift fan, I'm so sorry. You can just fast forward maybe about like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think everyone has been speculating that like almost this entire album is about Maddie Healy, which is just like mind is blown.
Yeah. The whole album. I saw some funny TikTok this morning because I'm there. That's where I'm at. All of the TikToks as well, not just Reddit.
Yeah.
That was such a funny like skit spoof of, if you will, of Joel Alwyn's PR guy giving him a call. And he was like, honestly, it's not bad at all. You have nothing to worry about. No one's talking about you.
Yeah.
And it is such the truth.
Yeah, you have literally nothing to worry about. No songs, nothing.
You're so irrelevant.
Yeah. I think he got like one or two songs. Poor Travis.
Oh, he doesn't care.
I mean, I've seen the funniest fucking memes about Travis. Yeah. They're like, don't worry about Travis. Taylor gave him a Chinese finger trap.
Yeah. he was just big and dumb. He doesn't care.
Yeah. I don't know. I would not be okay if I heard this album. And,
I know.
I mean, maybe he's so dumb that he doesn't get that it's not about him. Maybe he's like, I
also think, I mean, like, look, he's fucking her. Like, he is secure.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't be secure.
I wouldn't be secure either.
Yeah.
Like, this is some of the best songwriting I think she's ever done.
I would say so. And, you know, if you do the deep dive, if you want to come to the dark side with us, the prologue and the epilogue say it all, that it is Maddie Healy and, you know, some other assholes mixed in. But, like, she writes the worst men the best is what she said.
Yes.
So, yeah, it inspired a lot of fucking anger. We're getting like notes of All Too Well. Like, okay,
yes.
we're going too deep on this. But like, it's so fucking good.
It's so good.
I just want to know, like, apparently Maddie Healy just ghosted her out of nowhere. And I think their relationship we mentioned to each other was going on a lot longer.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, if you spend a lot of time on the internet like we have over the last few days, there are threads in a lot of her other albums that mention or that have given mention supposedly to him and vice versa with the 1975 lyrics as well that mirror each other.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I only know their history because I was a huge 1975 fan. Mm-hmm. Like at some point I was really into one of their albums and I'm like, wait, is this about Taylor Swift? I don't know where you get this, like, you can feel it.
Yeah,
you can feel it in the silence.
You can feel it.
Yeah,
I get
but
it.
Like, so to see Maddie Healy take like this spiral was rough because I was a fan of the band. I don't know, what, how do you feel about that? How badly he got canceled?
I mean, he's kind of a gross guy, and I don't just mean for like the things that he said to get him canceled, but like I believe he is like a heroin user.
Yeah
he's
reformed.
Yeah but he's like kind of a sloppy drunk.
Yes.
Like drinks on stage, like says shitty things to fans, so he's just kind of like a gross guy overall. You know, what was it over the summer when he was like on the podcast and said like some pretty terrible things about Ice Spice? I think it was deserved, honestly.
The whole thing's, the stuff that he said is deplorable. I'm like, I can play devil's advocate and say people have been canceled for shit that like they're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Or, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. Like, everyone's getting canceled left and right. And yes, he did say deplorable shit, but like a lot of people have, right?
Yeah.
And it's like people, the hate that this man received just all around is.
It was the timing of everything. And like the Swifties come so hard.
Yeah.
So I think I just think he's gross in general regardless of the cancellation. It's more so that, like, talk about unbathed. Like, this, he just looks like he smells. You know?
I don't get that. I feel like Maddie Healy, I'm a problematic queen. Like, that's my type.
Yeah.
I like a fuck boy. I like a disgusting, like, someone who looks like he smells like cigarette smoke. So
you just want to fix someone. Yeah.
A fixer upper, but also, like, you're gross. You're going to treat me like shit. You're going to leave in the middle of the night and ghost me. It's just kind of my type, and I'm trying to reform that. But I do think he's incredibly talented. And I think that's where, like, they have this tragic, artist's connection, kind of. But it's really, I mean, we're still just scratching the surface of this deep dive because there is so much.
There's so much. Yeah. But as I said before, we know this is not a Taylor Swift podcast.
Yeah.
But we had to mention it.
We had because to. It's too, it is just, it's too good.
It's too of the moment. Everybody's talking about it. Yeah, and that's literally how I've spent the last 48 hours of my life.
Yeah. Just face chugging red wine and scream singing The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
Literally. That's all I've been doing. Like, I don't know if you noticed when I came over today, like, the bags under my eyes. Like, I was like, well, I guess I should take off the sweatshorts I've been wearing since Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
It's time to leave my home.
Yeah. If I didn't have to forcibly go work a shift, I would have been in your boat as well.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, that's what this weekend was made for.
Yes. Taylor Swift and face chugging martinis and red wine.
Absolutely.
Tay Tay would approve.
She would approve.
Yeah. All right, now we can move on. Whew, got it out of our system.
Yeah. So, like I said, speaking of guys who smell, no. So we usually record on the weekends, but last weekend we just didn't because we didn't need to, I suppose. So then I didn't have any plans. It was Saturday. I was just, like, hanging out in my apartment. And my friend Lauren, who I've mentioned to you before, lives in the neighborhood. She actually just moved apartments and lives even closer to me and just said, like, hey, are you in the neighborhood? I was thinking of, like, going and getting, like, a beer and some food. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, text me when you want to, when you're heading out or whatever. And so there are a lot of bars in my neighborhood, like on Sunset. And so there's one, like, shitty dive bar, that I went to, or that I decided to go to and, like, wait for her. So I just text her and said, like, hey, I'm at this bar, like, come and meet me here when you're ready. And so I go and a guy comes into the bar and he's like, he's attractive.
Okay.
You know, he's at a bar drinking alone, but so am I. So who's
no judgment.
No judgment. I had ordered a beer. He had ordered a beer and a shot. This is probably like 2 p.m. or so. Okay. So, you know, like day drinking on a Saturday. My friend comes. She and I ended up having like 2 beers apiece. And he's like sitting next to us, but kind of we can tell that he's like listening to our conversation.
Okay.
Because we're talking and he kind of like laughs at something.
Oh,
like
wow.
He's clearly...
He's part of the conversation, but not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for our 2 beers apiece, he has now had 3 beers and 2 shots. So, you know, he's drinking at a healthy pace.
Okay.
So we decide to leave that bar because they don't serve food and Lauren wanted to eat. So we go to meet up with her boyfriend, partner, whatever, at another bar down the street that serves food.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, it's kind of like, fuck it. Like, this is a bit of an impromptu bar crawl.
Yeah.
I think there was a Dodgers game as well. So there was just like a lot of people out.
Yeah.
So we decided to go to our final bar of the afternoon, which is a bar, another bar across the street where Lauren's boyfriend also works at.
Okay.
So we go to the third bar and now we're feeling... We're good. You know, we've had a few drinks.
Yeah.
And we walk into the third and final bar and the guy from the first bar is there.
Shot in a beer.
And he is drinking a shot and a beer. And at this point, I point him out to my friend Lauren and say, look, it's the guy from blah, blah, blah bar.
Hey, it's shot in a beer.
So, of course, she goes right up to him, sits down and goes, hi, are you following us? And just starts talking to him. And he laughs. And of course, he recognizes us. And so now we're all just hanging out. It's a group of 4. And so we find out that he lives in the neighborhood as well. He actually lives on my street.
Ooh.
Just like down a couple of blocks.
Okay. We love the proximity.
Love the proximity. We all then decide we should be doing shots, which is not... I don't do shots like a...
I don't really do shots anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm not built for ripping shots. Yeah. But you know, when it's a daytime hang...
What was the shot? Did you do a vodka?
Whiskey.
Oh, I know. I hate it so much.
I really hated it the next day, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But I was caught up in the spirit of hanging
You're
out.
You're trying to impress whatever. Beer in a shot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's like going out for cigarettes and whatever. And I'm just like... Why the fuck not? I'm not gonna lie, my memory gets a little hazy as the shots. I think I had two
shots.
As
it does, yeah.
And we end up making out, that I do know, at the bar.
Okay.
But like...
Trashy in a good way.
Who am I? Like, can't even leave and do the make out outside. Can't even, whatever. So we end up leaving... Oh, so we all were going to leave and like walk home. Mm-hmm. And this is the part that I don't remember, but Lauren had to tell me the next day, was that I guess that this guy was going to leave and the bartender was like, sir, you cannot leave. You haven't paid your tab. So he was just going to like bounce on a tab. I don't remember those details because like I said, this is when my memory starts to get a little bit hazy.
Okay.
And so Lauren was like, no. Like, let's just leave. Like, let this man sort out his bar tab. And so we leave and go home. And the next day she was trying to get like recon. Like, so did he text you? Do you have his number? We didn't exchange numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have his. I don't think he has mine because I haven't heard from him, but he just lives on my street. And so now there's like a mystery man in the neighborhood that I've made out with.
Okay. All right. Well, the intro to this episode was appropriate because our friend Molly, who we've mentioned on the podcast, loved Taylor Swift.
She did. Yeah.
And tomorrow is her birthday.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, we've mentioned her on this podcast quite a few times. I don't think that we've ever explicitly said before that Molly has passed away.
And we have not.
Yep. It will be 4 years in July. And so... It's July 14th, 2020, and she was one of my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
Susie, of course, knew her as well, and yeah, it's obviously very sad.
Yeah.
And actually, something that Susie and I haven't talked about, but we will in the future, was Susie and I had a falling out for a couple of years, and when I think... our group of friends, kind of the news was circulating that Molly passed away. That was actually why you and I started
that we reconnected speaking
and were able to reconnect.
Yeah.
So obviously it was really sad, still is, but in one tiny way, it was like a way to bring us back together, which I do appreciate. So,
yeah.
So her birthday is tomorrow. And, on her birthday and also the anniversary of her passing, I like to do things in her memory. Because otherwise I will typically like sit at home and cry and drink wine.
Yeah.
Which I said I've been doing this weekend anyways, which is kind of
nice.
Lead
up. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was one year, several years ago when I was in my 30s where my birthday fell on a Monday. And so Molly and I took the day off of work. We went with our friend to Malibu and we just went to the beach, had a beach day, drank wine, ate cheese, stopped for a martini on the way home and had a super fun day. And so because tomorrow is a Monday, I said, Suze, let's go to Malibu and celebrate Molly's birthday. So
So that's what we're going to do. I think it'll be a great time.
Yeah. We're going to bring Hank. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
And a fun way to remember Molly, who was a crazy person in a good way and in a crazy way.
We were saying we don't want this episode to get dark, but we needed to kind of just honor Molly, like because it is her birthday and we mention her so much on this podcast.
Yeah,
but she was a fun drunk. Like, she let's was just a put it, let's
fun drunk.
Let's call it what it was.
Yeah, before things got really dark and before, obviously, yeah, but like she was wild.
She was the life of the party.
The life of the party.
Not to make this sound like a Dateline episode too much, but she lit up a room. Yeah. Like, honestly, she really did.
People loved Molly. Men loved Molly.
Men were obsessed with Molly.
One time Molly and I were going to a party. We were taking an Uber from the Dime. And so we're on Fairfax, like going up to Hollywood or wherever this party was. And the Uber pulls up to a red light. And like Molly picked up a guy at a red light, like a guy from the next car over.
I'm not shocked.
Yeah. They dated for a few weeks.
Yeah, there was something very magnetic about Molly. I used to always just be like, this is insane. Like, it anywhere insane. We would go, men were like moths to a flame.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And the stories of how she would just like rope men in and they were like head over fucking heels.
It was wild.
Yeah. Wild. I mean, I need to like bottle some of that up.
Yeah. What were you doing, Molls?
What were you doing, Molls? Yeah. Let us know from the other side. But we were saying we have such epic Molly stories. Yes. Because she was hilarious. Okay.
So Molly lived, we all lived really close to one another. This is when we all lived kind of over by the Dime, pretty much, Fairfax. And so we would always go to the Grove and the Farmer's Market. Mm-hmm. And one of Molly's favorite places, and mine as well, to go drink is the bar at the Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
She and I used to go there pretty much every week, like go sit and have some wine.
Yeah.
And Molly would also go there alone. Molly would go pretty much anytime she wanted. She would walk over from her apartment, go and have some wine at the farmer's market.
It's lovely.
Stroll
honestly,
around.
I think about doing that more often. Just go totally to the farmer's market and like totally sit on a nice day. It's really nice.
Yeah. Even today.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to be sitting at the farmer's market with a wine right now.
Yeah.
So on this particular day, she was by herself and she told me this story afterwards. And I swear to God, I don't think I've ever laughed so hard. So she must have had quite a bit of wine because after she left the farmer's market, she decided to walk over to World Market.
Yeah. So for anyone, like the Grove where the farmer's market is, it's been around for ages, is also, it's part of the Grove, which is a shopping mall. So you have other stores that are kind of like in the same vicinity, like the same kind of complex situation, if you will.
Exactly. So it's like food and dining, whatever, but also shopping, retail. Mm-hmm. And so World Market is, I don't know, what is World Market like?
Like a home goods store.
Yeah, it's like a home goods, but they also sell food.
Yeah, yeah. They have different, like, they have a whole section of food and snacks and wine. They have a whole wine section.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then they have home furnishings as well. So it's just kind of like an array.
So Molly just strolled into World Market. She loved to shop. She loved a little tchotchke for her apartment.
Yeah.
So she strolled into World Market and she's retelling me this story. So she doesn't remember this line of events.
Yeah.
But the next thing she knows, she is being woken up by the manager of World Market, and Molly has been sleeping in a recliner with a bag of chips.
I think it was a papasan chair.
Oh yes, a papasan, like one of those big round chairs, because they don't sell recliners in World Market either. It's classy. Not like a furniture store.
Yeah.
And so after her wine, she apparently was hungry and needed a snack, so opened up chips, was just like eating chips, and then found this chair to lay in, fell asleep, and the manager woke her up like, honey, where are you? And she said she was so nice, but she essentially was like, you have to leave.
And my immediate question was, did they make her pay for the chips?
I don't even know.
My favorite Molly story, and I heard this one from you and I was dying laughing. So let me see if I can recall it correctly. You and Molly went out drinking. Okay.
Yes.
As you probably did many a night.
Yeah.
And from your perspective of the story, you wake up in your bed. And our friend, we'll call her Laura, which we've spoken of her before on a previous episode. To describe Laura, she's very much like kind of a prude-ish, like a very proper, like only drinks wine, does not drink hard liquor, like very in control at all times. I mean, so just very in control of everything. But you wake up and you're staring Laura in the face in your bed.
Yes. And I, we went out drinking at the Dime the night before and I got very drunk because I was upset because I found out Stoney had a new girlfriend. And so I then woke up and I was like, why? I know I got wasted last night, but why is Laura here? So confused.
And then you get this scoop from Molly after the fact.
So Laura left. Molly and I had to go on a work trip together. So on our Uber to the airport, I was like, what the fuck happened last night? And she was like, okay, I'll fill you in.
And she said that Laura showed up knocking on the door.
At my house.
And you were passed out already, and Molly was awake. And so she lets Laura in, and Laura is deeply distressed because she has had a fight in her relationship, a big one. I think she cheated on her boyfriend, right? And he kicked her out of the apartment. And you guys lived about a block away from each other, a couple blocks, So she shows up on your doorstep, needed a place to stay and someone to vent to. And you're passed the fuck out. And Molly.
But Molly was there.
Wide awake. So Molly's like, okay, okay, it's fine. So she goes, let me just make you a drink. Hold on. And so she makes Laura a vodka soda, which is incredible because Laura does not drink hard liquor. But Laura, in her distressed state, takes the drink.
Accepts the drink.
Accepts the drink, grateful to have a little booze, and takes one sip and goes, ooh, I can't. It's too strong.
Too strong.
It's so strong. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense because Molly liked to drink. So maybe she made this vodka soda really, really strong. And anyway, you know, Laura sits there and regales Molly with the story. Molly puts her to bed in in your bed, and Molly goes to sleep
on the couch.
On the couch. And so then when Molly is retelling the story,
I said, wait a sec, wait a sec, wait a sec. I don't have any vodka in the house. How did you make her a drink? And Molly said, with the vodka, with the bottle of Tito's that's on your bar cart. And I said, oh, Molly, that is water. And that is water that has been sitting there for about 2 years. We all know I keep my Tito's in the freezer.
I just think it's too fucking good that it's, Laura was like, oh, I can't drink this. It's too strong.
Yeah, but, you know, good for Molly. She was just trying to be, she's just trying to help. It's funny because I do keep a bottle of water vodka on my bar cart
just
even
for looks.
Now.
Yeah.
And somebody was over, I can't remember who, maybe it was like Gerald or something, and they went to make themselves a drink, and I say, oh, no, that's Molly's vodka. And so that's just now what I refer to it as.
I love that.
Molly's vodka. The real stuff's in the freezer, guys.
The real stuff's in the freezer.
Yes. There was another time in my apartment where Molly was over, and it was like a Friday or Saturday night. And Molly used to drink and drive a lot. And I, you know.
Yeah, we've all been there.
It's LA. We've been there. And on this particular evening, she had driven over to my place, and she just like, got in this mood, and we'd been drinking, obviously.
Yeah.
Got in this mood, and she decided that she was going to drive home, and she was wasted. And I didn't want her to drive.
Yeah.
So I hid her keys, which I think, you know, is like pretty standard.
Yeah.
But the problem was I was also drunk.
Yeah.
And so, and she got mad at me, and she was then trying to like flee the apartment that night. And so I hid her entire purse. So I hid her purse so that she couldn't have her car keys and she couldn't have her phone to like get an Uber. Like, and also because like we were saying earlier, Molly, men loved Molly. And what that meant is that she had a lot of questionable men in her life. And so
yeah,
when she was at this level, I was like, it's just safer if Yeah. She stays here.
Okay.
So I was hiding her things from her to save her.
Yeah.
So the next morning, I think I slept on the couch or whatever. You know, she woke up, and it's so funny because she was so pissed the night before, so mad at me that I was hiding her things from her. But she wakes up the next morning. Hi, amigo. Hi. Why am I here? And I was like, oh, because, you know, you had a little too much to drink. You know, she's happy as a clam. And so then we're looking around the apartment, and again, like I said, I was drunk too. The problem was I can't remember where I hid her things.
Yeah.
And so we're calling her phone. I'm like, we can't find it. Yeah. And I'm telling you, we like tore up my apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I'm starting to feel like an asshole because she's like, okay, I just really want to get home now. Like, yeah. Where are my things?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I just like, I can't believe I don't remember. And she's like, she didn't remember because she was obviously in a full blackout. And I was like, how can now I not remember when I was supposed to be the responsible one looking out for her? We probably take like 90 minutes. Like, I had to cancel my workout class. Like, I just couldn't find her bag. I don't know, after like an hour and a half, it just came to me, like, all of a sudden, just remember
it was.
I took her purse and I hid it in my luggage, and then I hid my luggage in like a hall closet, closed the closet, and like, because I knew no matter what, like, she was so drunk, she wasn't gonna like get into my hall closet and look
unzip
in my luggage.
Yes.
And lo and behold, I was like, oh my god, I've got it. Go unzip the suitcase, and there's her bag.
Your drunk self tricked your sober self as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But that was so funny. I mean, it was not funny at the time. She was so frustrated, but then it was funny. And then we probably went and got a drink.
Yeah, I can imagine. You had already canceled your workout class.
Oh, of course. The workout's off.
Speaking of, whenever we all had desk jobs.
Yes.
We had an epic Gmail chat that would just like keep us alive. Like,
oh my God.
Like, through the misery of working a desk job. And Kina and I just pulled it up because we're like, remember that G chat? And we're just scrolling through hilarious shit that Molly said, but the one we popped on is so funny. It goes, Kina goes, Susie, good for you running. I guess I had said I went for a run. So you go, Susie, good for you running. And then you go, I did FitMix and can barely walk today. And Molly goes, haha, we went to Rosewood and pounded some whiskey.
This was a weekday, by the way. This was so par for the course this was so fun just scrolling through this. Most of Molly's anecdotes are like, I want Taco Bell.
And then it's Kina going, Molly, don't eat that. You'll get gas in front of your boyfriend. And Molly just keeps coming back to the bell.
She just can't get enough of Taco Bell.
Me neither, man.
We used to work, our office was across the street from a Taco Bell. So there was a lot of midday, you know, runs across for,
That's dangerous. Yes,
it was.
Especially if you're going to the office with a hangover.
And let me tell you, she was going to the office with a hangover 5 days a week.
Oh, same girl. Yeah. Same. You told me recently, and just let me know if you're not okay talking about this and we don't have to use it, but you had a dream about her after she died.
Oh, yeah. Several.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So many dreams about her.
Well, do you want to talk about how she died or no?
I'm fine with that. I mean, it was an overdose.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So it was just like tragic and sudden. And I think you told me you were dealing with a lot of like, oh, like just the gravity of like it happening so unexpectedly. And she was in a bad place. And, you know, you didn't know like, oh, shit, will I ever see her again? Or, you know, like, is there an afterlife or that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And then you started having these weird dreams.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and we were talking, we were in touch. It's not like we weren't speaking.
Yeah.
So it was very, very sudden, but yes, it was really, I've never had anybody close to me die with the exception of relatives who died from old age.
Yeah.
So to have someone so close and so young die was really, I just, I, could it was incomprehensible. It was a very, very hard time for me. It was also like peak COVID.
Yeah.
Which I do think contributed to why she was having such a hard time and probably what led to what happened. But yes, you're right. So I had a lot of dreams about Molly. I think this is the one you were talking about. But in one of my dreams, it was, and interrupt me if this is not the right one. We went to brunch.
Okay.
And she, we were sitting down and we went to a mimosa brunch, which is like on brand for us.
Yeah.
And she kept wanting to get a refill, and she was frustrated that nobody would, the server wouldn't give her a refill. And again, this is like so Molly.
Yeah.
And she was just like, ugh. And she used to call me amigo, and she goes, amigo, why aren't they coming and serving us? Amigo, 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 they're not paying attention to me.
Yeah.
And I had to explain to her, I said, Molly, they can't see you because you're dead. You're a ghost. And she didn't know in the dream. She didn't know. And I had to like explain it to her.
Yeah.
I think that's the one you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was wild. It was trippy, but I've had a lot of, a couple of dreams and like experiences like that since she passed.
But the craziest thing you told me too, your friend and you were talking, who was also close with Molly.
She had the exact same dream.
Yeah.
It was my friend Lauren actually that I just I went out with.
Yeah.
She had the exact same dream.
And that to me is what's wild. Like for you to have a dream, if you're processing someone's death, like, yeah, of course, to have the same dream where like she's at a bar, she's trying to order and people aren't acknowledging her and she doesn't understand that she's gone.
Yeah.
Is so crazy to me. Like, I just think that's really interesting.
Yeah. I think it shows too that it was accidental. I don't think that it was a suicide. Molly was, and we laugh about all these stories. Like, clearly there was substance abuse. We know that. Like, Molly has been to rehab a number of times.
Yeah.
For all the funny stories, there are a lot of really dark times as well that, like, you're aware of. I am very aware of because I was honestly there for a lot of it. You know, she tried to get sober. She failed a couple of times. So I really do think it was an accident. And I agree with you. I think that this was like someone who died too soon and just like she didn't mean for it to happen.
Yeah.
So it's sad, but I will say that this sounds so heavy. Even after I said it wasn't going to be heavy. It's been a really like amazing experience to learn how to deal with grief and like my emotions with it and like my relationship with Molly. And so while it's been tough, it's like it's been really eye opening as well, even though that sounds cheesy.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just wanted to, give a little scoop on who she was.
Yeah.
And we're going to be celebrating her tomorrow. Remind me which Taylor Swift songs Molly was obsessed with. I know one was Bad Blood.
Oh God. Bad Blood. Blank Space.
Yeah.
Pretty much just like 1989.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we would watch the music videos on repeat.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went to the Grove to watch, the Taylor Swift like Eras movie.
Yes.
And we were standing in the Eras movie when Bad Blood was playing and you're like, Molly used to make me watch this music video on repeat. And now I'm like questioning our friendship because it's all like, now we have Bad Blood.
Oh yeah. Cause it's just about like former friends. Yeah. Right.
And you're like, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
I think she was just obsessed with the album, right?
She was just obsessed with 1989. And that also, and this is a nice full circle because we were talking about Taylor Swift. That was before I just like didn't care about Taylor Swift. I was like, yeah, all right, catchy, okay. But like I just didn't care.
Yeah.
I was like very much impartial.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, I'd love to watch this music video for the 1,000th time. I would love to.
She was trying so hard to bring you into the fold.
Yeah. And I just like, I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
And so when I became a true Swiftie, the first person I had to reach out to was Molly, of course.
Yeah.
And I was like, I get it now. I understand.
Yeah.
But
we do have Bad Blood, but not really.
She loved that album.
She would be so proud of now.
She would be loving this weekend for sure. She would be with me on the couch with red wine for sure.
right. If you have made it through this episode, pour yourself some daytime drinks and wander over to a world market and fall asleep in a papa sand eating some chips.
Yeah. Send us your stories to barfcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @barfcast. And follow us anywhere you get your podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. It means a lot.
Yes. Thank you so much. We love you. We love you, Molly.
Love you, Molls. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And we will
see you next Tuesday.
Cheers.
Cheers.